I don't know if I've spoken to you much about Teresa and my courting time, our dating, before we fell in love and got married, but I always knew she was cute because I saw her from afar. We were friends for a while, and one day we got thrown together right next to each other at a Memorial Day picnic of all things, and as we sat there, we just started chatting, and it wasn't long before I realized she's pretty special. And there was a lot of things about her I loved. This may sound kind of weird, but I loved that her kids were a priority, you know, even over me and at the time. And I loved that she had good boundaries. I remember as we got to know each other and we started dating, you know, we would talk to each other at night from time to time, and I'd catch up on the day, and, you know, around 8:30, be, oh, hey, I got to go to sleep. Like, it's 8:30. She said, I know, I go to sleep early. I got to get my 8 hours in. Like, she was very, very particular about making sure she was taking care of things in her life that were important. Also, I one thing I loved about her was the fact that she was very efficient with time. And I think as a single mom, working mom, obviously that would be very difficult. You got to maximize your time, but that's just her personality. So if she had to take an errand to a store somewhere and also fill up her car with gas or go visit someone that was in different places in town, rather than do the store one day, the gas the next day, the friend the next day, she would look at everything and go, I think I can wait till Wednesday and do it all. And then she would plot a trip going as efficiently as possible to accomplish as much as possible. I think if she were to tell you what she appreciated about me, one of the things was how adventurous I was. Love adventure. And if I don't go off seeking adventure, even if it happens to me, I'm totally fine with it. And so she would say that I have made her more adventurous. It is true. The only problem is sometimes the adventures we go on are not ones that she wants to go on. For instance, like she gets in a car and if she's going somewhere, it doesn't matter if she's been there 100 times, she plots the GPS to take her there because there might be what? There you go, traffic. Hello. Some of you are just like Teresa. That's wise. You'll save time that way. I don't like that. I like the adventure of finding out if there's traffic on the way there. There are times, in my defense, there are times when I am taking Apple Maps directions and I decide to take my own, and then it recalculates and it says to me, Dan, you know what? You're right. You saved a minute. I should have thought of that before I gave you these instructions. But Teresa will tell you, sometimes we get in the car in the morning and I'm already, the ignition's on and I'm driving. She doesn't even have her seatbelt on. She goes, you haven't even put the directions in yet. And it can frustrate her because of the adventures that we probably don't need to go on that I take her on. The reason we get along so well is because she has some qualities about her that are wonderful, that enrich my life, that help me grow as a person. And there's qualities I have that help her do the same thing, to experience the wonder of life, the adventure that life has to offer. And there's so many more things that she has to offer and that I have to offer each other. But I'm really talking about our personalities. And I have 5 children I raised from babies. And even though they're adults, I still raise them to a certain extent. And they all were born with personalities. And they were very different. Some more extroverted, some more introverted, some more thoughtful and intellectual, some more fun-loving and joking. And they're so different. And so my relationship with all of my kids are very, very different, right? You wouldn't expect me to have the same kind of relationship with all 5 of my kids who are so different. And I love the relationship I have with each and every one of them. I would not want 5 carbon copies with the same number of grandkids that are the same age and have the same names, right? I love the adventure and the wonder of exploring who they are and who they grow to become. And just like my kids, just like Teresa, and just like me, every single one of us has personality qualities. But there's something maybe you have never thought about before. You have a spiritual personality. You have qualities about you that make you connect with God in a different way than anyone else. You have a spiritual identity You have spiritual fingerprints that are unique. And even though you might have some things in common with other people, you are different when you look at all the combinations of things that make you who you are, all of the experiences you've had in your life, the family you've been raised in, that make you connect to God in a different way than anyone else. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I don't often make guarantees in my sermon, but I'm going to make you a money-back guarantee today. 95% of you will learn something new this morning, learn something that's impacting to your life. And if you don't, just bring your receipt and proof that 95% didn't learn, and I will happily refund your money. So, let's talk about this. Now, we are in a series called building our lives, right? We want a brighter future. And so how can we grow in our life as it relates to our connection with God? And so if you don't have your notes, go ahead and pull them out. If you're following us online, you can download those notes on the website or open them up on the app. But I have 3 points this morning that I want to talk about that helps us connect with God in a deeper way. First point is, I have my most fulfilling connection to God when I discover and embrace the me God has created me to be. I will never appreciate God as much as I will when I understand who he has created me to be. And you may be on a new journey. Maybe you're kicking the tires of faith. You don't know anything about God yet. You can still learn something about God this morning if you understand that you have unique things about yourself that you should appreciate. Because I think what we tend to do is we tend to look at our weaknesses and we tend to think about those often more. There's studies that say we do this. In fact, sadly, I think women do it more than men. Sometimes men have a false sense of confidence that doesn't belong to them. But we do focus on our negatives more than we should, because God has given us some powerful things to connect with him, and we should appreciate those things. I think growing up in the church, if you did that, or if you're newer to church, you probably have heard this before. And if you want to connect with God, there's really some things you have to do. Number one, you have to get out your Bible and you have to read it every morning. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah, I got to read it in the morning. I got to read it for so many minutes. Make sure after you're done with that, you pray for a little while. Okay, after you prayed, make sure you go to church every week. Make sure when they're singing, you sing along. You know, you at least try. There's a lot of things you're supposed to do to connect with God. And I'm not here. Some of you are going, uh-oh, is he saying the Bible's not important? Is all that not important? No, but I don't think there's one way that we connect with God. I think God's word is important. The more we get into us, it only helps us. I think praying to God is important. The more we do that, the more we feel connected to him. However, there's other ways we connect with God we probably don't think about, but we need to start. It says this in Galatians. Paul says this as he's talking about our individual differences. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Now, the only reason Paul would say to examine yourselves, to look into yourselves and understand who God created you to be, is because he probably saw that happen a lot in people's lives. You just live your life intuitively and you don't understand a lot about yourself. You don't understand why maybe you feel dry when it comes to your relationship with God right now, but you just figure maybe everybody expresses this. Or then you start comparing yourself to somebody else. Man, they seem to be, quote, on fire for God, and I just don't feel that, so I feel less than. And I think that is kind of the natural way we live our lives. And Paul's saying, Don't do that. Look at what God has given you. It's special. It's important. And then when you do, don't make the mistake of beginning to compare yourself to somebody else and feel less than, because that's not what God wants for you. He made you beautifully just the way you are. And so just enjoy it, but take the time to discover who you are. This is an interesting passage. We kind of begin to see the way people interact in this next passage. There's a family. It was Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and they were friends with Jesus. So I want to read this, and you're going to begin to see some of the pitfalls that Paul had just warned about in this passage. It's found in Luke chapter 10. It says this: as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. I want you to stop there and think about this a minute. So they're going to a town. Obviously, she knows them. She invites who? Him. She invites Jesus to her house. Well, they all obviously go there, and then we kind of fast forward to the next part of the story. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." So you see something happening. First, Martha invites Jesus. His whole entourage comes to her house. She's preparing a dinner. Why? Because that's one of the ways she connects to him. That's one of the things she thinks is important. It's a value she has. But in the midst of this, she's beginning to lose sight of who he is and what's going on, and begins to judge other people around her. Mary is completely different. She connects with Jesus in a completely different way. She sits there at his feet. It's probably the best way for her to absorb who he is and to think about, this is a person who was promised in the Old Testament. He's sitting here before me. I'm able to sit under his teaching. Who knows what went on in her mind, but she was experiencing Jesus in the way that was best for her. Jesus didn't rebuke Martha for serving. He rebuked Martha for butting in to Mary's way she was connecting with him, right? We need to understand God has made us uniquely, and God has given us these ways to connect with him, and start doing it and stop saying, "I wonder why they're not doing it the way I'm doing it." Because we all have different ways we connect with Jesus. And it's about time we start just embracing it and loving the way he made us. Amen? All right. So, it's important to understand that, but I'm going to share some ways we connect with God that maybe you haven't thought about before, which is our second point. I can have my most fulfilling connection to God when I pursue him according to my spiritual pathway. Now, I got these from a book. You can go out and read it if you want. It's wonderful. It's by a guy by the name of Gary Thomas. It's called Sacred Pathways, but it is a brilliant book, and it's well-researched, so I highly encourage, if you like this, go on and read that. But I want to read three passages from three different perspectives about three different people. The first one's found in Psalm 19. This was written by King David. He says this: "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship." So David, King David, is able to appreciate God, to feel God by just looking at the sky, looking at the night sky, by looking at the clouds that are scrolling across the sky during the day. It gives him awe. That's one way he connects with God. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. We see somebody named Anna. Anna was a prophet, a New Testament prophet, Old Testament prophet. She was around the time of Jesus' birth, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. She lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. Here you see a woman who, in order for her to feel connected to God, to feel most useful for God, she is not going to leave church. Like, she's there when the doors open till the doors close. She sees people come and go. I don't doubt she saw years and years of music and worship, years and years of sacrifices, years and years of people coming needing prayer, maybe people that were broken and hurting, and she prayed for them and she fasted for them, and that's how she felt most connected to God. It's powerful when you think about the different ways we connect with God. Let's look at the third one this morning. This is found in Luke chapter 3, and this is John the Baptist. You may not realize this, but John was Jesus' cousin, but he was also a prophet that ushered in Jesus' ministry. Here's what he says in Luke 3:3. Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. He's one of these guys in the street corner with the signs, "Repent." You ever seen those guys, right? That was John. Like, he got in your face. If you were a tax collector, he said, "Stop ripping people off and give them their money back." You know, the King Herod of the day, you know, he was exploiting, he was rich, he was powerful, he was exploiting people. He killed his brother-in-law and took his wife because he thought she was hot. So he wanted to marry her. So he didn't care. He's fine with murdering people. John the Baptist called it out. John connected to God through his need to see wrongs righted. Like, he knew he had to do it. This, it just drove him. Very, very different ways of connecting with God. So in your notes, I've got nine different ways we're going to go over this morning. Ways in which you connect with God. And often we'll have more than one of these. But I bet you you'll find some of these. You go, "Oh, that's me. I do that. That's me." The first way is the naturalist. The naturalists connect to God through the outdoors and nature. And anybody here feel like church is great, but when you get out in the cathedral of the mountains with trees around you, maybe a babbling brook, a meadow, snow on the mountains around, do you just see God and feel God? Yeah, some of you, right? That's a naturalist expression. God created the universe for us so he can naturally be seen in it. And it's okay. Some people say, "I don't go to church. I just meet God out in nature." That's because they're naturalists. I think they're missing something by being around God's family, but it's because they experience God in a way that other people don't. Some people, when you get out in nature, you get mosquitoes and I get out of here, right? Your idea of camping is a nice hotel near a tree somewhere, right? So you're not a naturalist, and that's fine. But naturalists see things in nature that remind them of God. David clearly had this. You know, you think about Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's thinking about sheep you see wandering the hillsides. "He leads me beside still waters," right? Green pastures, valleys. He's thinking in terms of the things he's seen, and he sees God in nature. That's a naturalist. And that might be you. And you, if you don't go out in nature enough, then maybe you ought to make some plans to do it. You can even do it nearby. Teresa and I go on little hikes. Teresa and I both have that. We love that. When I look at a tree, most of you look at a tree and you see a tree with leaves that maybe fall in your yard and create work for you. I see a magnificent solar panel, you know, that God made. It's just unbelievable when you think about life and what it is. So naturalists are one way. The second way is sensates. These are people who experience God through their senses. They like a service that's loud. They like to see stained glass windows. If we had incense in our service, they would be fine with that. They smell things. Maybe communion is a special part of the service because you're interacting with it. You're tasting things. You're hearing things. A sensate experiences God through all five senses. A lot of people who are into art are sensates. They sit in front of art and they just are blown away by the magnificence of what they see because it just excites their senses. And it's a good thing. I love sensates. I'm not a sensate, but I appreciate people who are because they're experiencing God through all of their senses in a way the rest of us can't quite do it. I have a my son's wife, so my daughter-in-law, her dad is a teacher at a Catholic University. And so we were at a family reunion, and I met him for the first time, and we went for a walk. A lot of us went for a walk, and while we were walking, we saw this beautiful cathedral there in my son's neighborhood, and he goes, I used to work there, and he goes, would you guys like a tour? And it was midweek, so yeah, sure. We went to this Catholic church, and it was unbelievably beautiful. Like, I've been in a Catholic church before, but you forget about the beautiful stained glass windows and the story of Christ, and there's just so many things for the senses to see. And a lot of people, I think, maybe were drawn to that kind of worship because all of their senses are involved. So the sensates are the second one. The third one is the traditionalists. These are people who experience God through ritual and symbol. So a church service is important to them because they see things maybe that others don't. A lot of times, people like this like liturgical services where you're reading the same things over and over at different times of year. That's fine. Traditionalists usually like to feel connected to their past, to people in their past. And so a traditionalist might come to church at Summit here and say, hey, I noticed you changed the announcements to the end of the service. It's really bothering me. How come you can't do it the way Jesus did it originally? You know, have it in the middle of the worship time. Right? But traditionalists have these things because structure gives them a connection to God. Because you look at the Old Testament, you see a God that had a very elaborate worship that he laid out for people to experience. And so they see importance in that. So if that's you, that's great. Ascetics are people who connect to God through solitude and simplicity. Like, you might be love being around a lot of people, but they come to church, maybe they like certain aspects of church, but they never feel more connected to God than in the morning when no one is up and they have to get up extra early so people don't bother them, but it's quiet. They hear nothing. It's dark. Maybe they have to go away somewhere. They want to go away get in their car and go to a field nearby where they won't run into anybody. But when they're there, all of a sudden they experience God. They don't see the point in a lot of elaborate, signs and beauty and whatever. They like simplicity. They're kind of our minimalists. You know the Shakers? You ever heard of Shaker cabinets? I don't know if you know Shaker style. They're very plain cabinets. Well, Shakers were a Christian sect, and they were minimalists. They didn't believe in ornate churches. Everything for them was minimal because it was a way they connected to God. Is through just the simplicity of life. The next type are caregivers. There are people that experience God most when they're giving care to other people, when they're helping other people. In fact, Pastor Chris was sharing about this outreach we're going to be doing and how people are going to be coming, people who are in need, and we're going to be supporting them by things we're doing. A caregiver is going to go, I want to sign up for that. I want to take care of somebody. I want to help somebody. Caregivers often, they might miss a Sunday service because they're in someone's home because they're sick and they're taking care of them. Or they're the first ones to sign up to take a meal for somebody. Because when they're serving, they connect to God. They feel, they understand what it was like for Jesus. They understand the servanthood, how Jesus served people. They feel so close to him in those moments. Caregiving is powerful if you experience that in your life, because you can see somebody else's life transformed and changed because of the care you bring them. Next are enthusiasts. These are our party people. Enthusiasts are people who maybe are a little more expressive in their worship. You know, I don't know if you have the person next to you that does this kind of worship, and you have to duck to avoid getting hit in the head, right? Thank God for our enthusiasts, because they're the people that bring fun. They bring fun. They like, let's do something fun. Let's do something different. How about let's do something different this morning. Let's do the wave. I'm going to start over here. You guys go, and then you're going to do it. Let's see if we can do this. Ready? Start over here. Wave. Just do it. See if you guys do it. All right. How many people liked that? Okay, there's our enthusiasts. There we go. Okay. The rest of you played along. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Enthusiasts have to have the music loud in the car on the way home. enthusiasts want to celebrate things. You know, we ought to have a celebration. They graduate, let's celebrate. You know, there's people, those are your party planners. And so, yeah, I hear a party planner in the front, there's an enthusiast in the front row. They say amen. So, thank God for enthusiasts, because some of us need life. We sing like this. If God meant us to raise our hands, our seats would be farther apart, right? Enthusiasts bring life to a room. Then there's the contemplatives. Contemplatives connect to God through the time they spend thinking about Him, adoring Him. They have a way of thinking about God that's maybe a little different than the rest of us. They think about God as their friend. They think about God as their father. I remember one time I have some contemplative in me. I was in a worship service, and I don't remember the words exactly, but what came to my mind as I was worshiping is Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And all of a sudden, my eyes are shut, and I just have this picture in my mind of Jesus kneeling on the ground before me with his hair just brushing against my feet, his hands washing my feet. And in that moment, I was absolutely broken. I started crying. I couldn't control myself because I just was appreciating and loving a person who would treat me like that. And that's really what Jesus did for me and far more. But in that moment, I was experiencing it. Contemplatives can do that. They can just have a different perspective on Jesus than the rest of us, and it's powerful. And it's a special gift that God's given you. And the last one, and this is probably my highest, and this is intellectuals, and I want to qualify this. Intellectuals aren't necessarily smart. They just connect to God through their intellect, through their minds. They connect to God through understanding Him, maybe in deeper ways. A lot of intellectuals who connect with God that way are apologists. They know the reasons for God. They can tell you Anselm's argument for the reason, the proof of God. They could tell you all kinds of things about God. They tend to be more abstract. They want to know how the Trinity works exactly. You know, they want to have that really firm understanding of that. An intellectual gets lost in thinking about God. A lot of times they're a little more introverted. They like reading about God. They like reading different books that open their eyes to who God is. And they connect with Him in a deep way because they understand Him more and more and more. Those are just 9 different ways that we connect with God, which leads us to our final point. I can have my most fulfilling connection to God when I make space in my life to appreciate the awe and wonder of who He is. The awe and wonder. Did you know you were created for awe and wonder? You're designed to experience it. And if you like horror movies, or you like roller coasters, or you like looking at a sunset, or you like anything that gets your heart racing and you just in awe, you are designed for that. And there is nothing that will give you more awe and more wonder than the God who created everything and everyone and knows you in ways you don't know yourself, who is faithful, who is holy, who is righteous, who is compassionate, who is merciful, who is good. There is nothing in life that will give you more awe and wonder than knowing Him. And we need to make space for that. You have a way to connect with God that no one else does, uniquely. So invest in yourself. Give yourself the time and space to experience an awe and a wonder unlike anything else. That's the reason why some of us feel spiritually dry is because we're not taking advantage of the way God has created us to connect with Him. King David says this, "O God, You are my God. I earnestly search for You. My soul thirsts for You. My whole body longs for You in this parched and weary land where there is no water." David is expressing again, using nature, expressing a feeling he has in his heart of not feeling connected to God. He's desperately needing God, and he's crying out to God because he knows that's what's going to bring him the greatest joy. He knows that's what's going to bring him peace. It's what's going to bring him help. It's what's going to bring him comfort. And so he's crying out, God, please bring me this. Help me. Meet me in this dry and thirsty land. And I want to encourage you, think about whatever one of those nine or combination of those nine ways that you connect with God. And think about this week, a way you can go out and connect with God. If you like being in nature, definitely, definitely join the hiking group with the Lautzenheisers and get out in nature with other people that appreciate God that way. If you like solitude and prayer, we have a prayer walk you can go on with Dana and talk to people that maybe like solitude a little more. There's a lot of ways to connect with God. I'm encouraging you, go home and think about it. Don't just put these notes away. Say, I want to connect with God in a deeper way this week. I was thinking about this, how powerful it is when people fully give themselves to this. You know, Mother Teresa, clearly she had one of these. Which one was it? Caregiver. Mother Teresa was one of the most powerful caregivers in our modern history. She started an organization that does this, that now has thousands of participants serving people, caring for people who have no means to care for themselves around the world. Her passion to connect with God the way she was created has transformed lives around the world. I don't know if you ever heard of a guy named William Wilberforce. He was an Englishman, Christian, who loved God and saw the evils of slavery, and it broke him, and something had to be done, and he was not going to let it stand. And so he began passionately to plead on behalf of the slaves and to end slavery in the United Kingdom, and was one of the first to stop the slave trade that had been going on for so long. But it was because he was an activist. He was connecting with God and doing what God had called him to do. I don't know if you ever heard of Larry Norman. If you're older, maybe you have. He's the father of modern contemporary music. The music we sing in churches came from him. He's an enthusiast. He's somebody that appreciates singing things that are meaningful to him. And so he began to write songs in a new way. Hymns are great. But a lot of the people that were singing those did not feel connected to God. And he began to just do what God led him to do. Did you know hymns at one time were contemporary? Yeah, Martin Luther wrote, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." It was so scandalous at the time because he took a bar tune and changed the words to Christian words, "A Mighty Fortress." And people were singing it because everybody knew the bar tune, right? And now it's super spiritual. Larry Norman had the same heart. He goes, I want people to sing songs that they could connect with in a deeper way. And we've been impacted by it. Go after God in the way he's given you, and you will see your own life transformed, and sometimes you're going to impact others around you. We all need to see each other connecting with God in the way he's given us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we're so grateful for who you are. Jesus just exemplified everything. Just everything. He was a complete, whole person that knew every moment how to connect with his Father. And Lord, we are so grateful you've made us uniquely. And I know some people in this room maybe beat themselves up because they feel like, oh, I just don't feel like I connect with God that way. And I just can't read my Bible for an hour and pray in the morning. But I feel so good when I'm out in nature. And whatever it is, Lord, that you have done to create them uniquely to connect with you, I just pray they would just search it out and discover it and embrace it and love the person that you've made them to be. And if there's someone new here today that maybe they haven't started a relationship with Jesus yet, but something is stirring in their heart and they just maybe remembered some moments where they just felt this awe and wonder, and they wondered if there might be a God. Maybe they can begin to search for you again in that way that you've created them to be. And I just pray, God, you would help us all to live our lives so that our connection with you would be deeper and deeper and deeper, and we would be more and more in love with you and in awe of who you are. And we thank you, God, for your many, many gifts to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.